excited to be worshiping with you guys this morning. Glad that you're here. Pray that your family is blessed, that in every way God is speaking to you. And how many know that, like Jesus said, we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. There's the written word which becomes the preceding word. And there's the preceding word that brings the dynamic that breaks the yoke in our life, that brings healing into our souls, that, hey, on the surface, it gets you through the day. How many know what I'm talking about? You wake up every morning and I just think, Lord, if I could just have one word. I was talking about this with somebody at breakfast yesterday. It's like, think about one word that comes out of this man's mouth. One word, let there be light, or whatever. One word absolutely has the power to transform the universe, much less little old me, right? And this morning we're going to make room here to have pastors and elders lay hands on you, pray for you, and believe God for those words to be spoken out over your life. If you like it, no pressure. You don't have to. Is anybody having fun yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm a big believer that church is to be fun.
Amen.
That his living room is a place of joy.
Amen.
A place of freedom. A place of life.
Amen.
And I just want to share to you, we're most of our time left here this morning is going to be continuing in prayer and prophetic words of your life in just a few minutes. But I want to share, if you don't mind, just a few things that I feel for 2020. Okay. And I intentionally, just so you know, I haven't looked at the words online. I haven't compared with some of my favorite pastors or prophets or whatever intentionally. I did that on purpose because I got alone with the Lord and I was like, Lord, I want to hear from you for us. Okay, for us. I can't say if this is for anybody else out there. It might be, I don't know. But this is what I feel like as a shepherd of this flock, as a pastor of this church. This is what I feel, and I was thinking back to some of the words from 2019. One of them that stands out was that had to do with it's springtime. Okay, and I actually did this whole series on spring, summer, winter, and fall spiritually, the different four spiritual seasons. And guess what? We saw that happen in this church. Multiplication, rising up of different things. I'm not going to go on and on about 2019 because that's in the past. We're leaving that behind us, pressing on, like Paul said. He's made all things new. We're pressing on towards what lies ahead. Amen. But here's the first thing. I just got seven things real quick. I'm going to do them real quickly that I want to share with you and then sort of make a suggestion. I'm calling this, and at the risk of sounding trite or this being overused, I believe the Lord says that 2020 is an epic year. Okay, 2020 is an epic year. And you know, do you know what an epic is, actually? And if my mother-in-law and old English teacher, Janet Moore, were in here, she could get up and go on and on. An epic, by definition, according to the dictionary, is a long poem, right? How many from high school remember the Epic of Gilgamesh? Certainly the Iliad or the Odyssey, right? Some of these famous epics. Well, isn't that also what this scripture is? This is an epic story. It's an epic narrative. It's got highs and lows and in-betweens. It's got heroes and villains, sort of. It's got all these things that make up the grand narratives that if you love to read or you love to watch movies or you love to hear these different stories, 2020 is just obviously one more year in a long epic. But I felt particularly that he was saying, but this year is epic. Here's by definition, a long poem. Typically one derived from ancient oral tradition. Sound familiar? Like scripture. Narrating the deeds. And this is where you come in. So listen carefully. An epic narrates the deeds and adventures of heroic or legendary figures. I was thinking about the patriarchs. Start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all the other 11 of Joseph's brothers. The epic patriarchs, their epic journeys, their stories that they've taken. When I think of epics, I also think of one of my favorite series of books that became famous movies, right? With the Lord of the Rings. I think about Samwise and Frodo. You know, this epic voyage where Frodo's got to destroy this ring. And Samwise is like, he's like, no. Frodo's like, Samwise, I've got to do this alone. And he goes, yes, I know. And I'm coming with you. I mean, I love that phrase, because I hear that in the story of the scripture is like Jesus has called us individually to take this journey. But he says, but you don't go alone, because I know you've got to do it, but I'm coming with you.
Come on.
Not only that, but we journey together.
That's right.
As a tribe, as a family. Amen. We're going to grow in that this year.
Yeah.
There's going to be adventure in 2020 for many of you, for many of us. Or the history of a nation. It's, as an adjective, epic is heroic or grand in scale or character. Heroic or grand in scale or character, particularly impressive or remarkable. We'll see, right? I feel like we'll look back on 2020 years from now and be like, oh man, do you remember 2020? And we'll just kind of shake our heads like, whoo, yeah. Man, what a year that was. I'm not trying to blow it up, hype it up. You know, God knows, only God can do these things. But I do believe that the Lord wants to release faith in your heart.
That's right.
Some of you have journeyed out of some wilderness territory, some desert lands. If that's you, Lord, have mercy. Because today is a day where you begin to walk into green pastures. Walk beside still waters. He restoreth your soul. Amen. So that's number one, an epic year. Number two, an increase in all kinds of miracles. You can write that down. An increase in all kinds of miracles. I was recounting back with some college students a couple months ago on just a few miracles that I've seen. I've seen, like, literally a prayer cloth heal this girl's mother in India. I've seen stage 4 cancers just completely disappear. I've seen multiple deaf ears pop open. Those are miracles of healing. Those are awesome. But there's miracles of all kinds. Recently, we saw some financial miracle happen. What is a miracle? It's simply a divine intervention of the supernatural that's not humanly possible.
Yeah.
How many of you know what I'm talking about? Of all kinds, there's going to be miracles this year in your life, through your life. Let's say that together. In my life, through my life. One more time. In my life, through my life. Cindy prophesied it well. You've already been equipped. What does that mean practically? You already have it here. You have what it takes to release the miraculous interventions of your Father and my Father into the world around you. It's an epic adventure. It's an epic adventure. Don't you love that about being a Christian?
Yeah.
To me, it makes every day exciting. It's like, all right, Papa, what are we doing today? What adventure do you have in the kingdom? Maybe it's a vision in your mind, something simple. Maybe it's a little scripture. You're like, wow, I've never seen it like that before. Maybe it's someone who gets healed. Maybe it's, you know, whatever. I mean, many different things. But God always has an epic journey and adventure that he's taken us on. And I believe he's called you and I to be those heroic figures. What was the other statement? Heroic or legendary?
Yes.
Legendary. Like King Arthur. You know, legendary. Like, you know, mythical figures like Robin Hood. Whatever it is. Whoever your favorite is. Put yourself in that place and say, God, what are you calling me into this year? Because I do believe that there is a stepping into something.
Yeah.
Another thing, part of the prophecy had to do with faith. Increasing a capacity of faith. Here towards the end of what I have to say, I want to give you like 5 things I think you can practically do this year to increase that container of faith in our lives and corporately together. So epic year number 2, increase in miracles. Number 3, ooh, this is a good one. New levels of worship.
Amen.
As high as we go, there's always higher.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Come on.
In fact, I don't think you can get, you never reach
That's right.
the top. I'm just speaking figuratively. It's not literally up. It's really in.
Yeah.
into his heart. There's new levels of worship. There will be including high praise this year. And again, in this room, in this body, in this church, high praise and a heavenly roar that will release his glory realm among us. You can start to hear the rumble. How many hear it in the spirit? How many have experienced in the past, you've been in rooms or worship gatherings where like it didn't happen from up here. They were doing what they're assigned to do. It happened from out here. It's like something unexplainable came over the room. I've been in settings where you look around and you can't even really explain that it's naturally happening. I mean, it is. People, or whatever. But there's something else. It's the angelic. Like, it's the, because how many know the angels love to worship? They love to lift their voices. And what happens when we join with heaven? All of his glory. You can kind of feel it right now. It just sort of gets kind of misty in here. You know what I mean? Because when you talk about the glory manifests.
Come on.
It's all of his presence. What is his glory literally? It's his goodness. It's Papa's goodness. He's just so good. He can't help but pour out his presence, his glory upon us. Look for that. It's all tied together. It's all part of the epic journey, isn't it? It's all part of this year of new levels of glory, high praise, the heavenly roar, and get ready, riders. There's new songs that'll come out of this. Not new songs necessarily that just come out of creative ideas, although that's a part of it, but new songs that come out because his glory is upon us. Because his glory is upon us. Our almost 9-year-old's writing songs right now. She came into our room last night, interrupted my football game. I was a little annoyed, but I muted it so I could listen. Sing this song. It could be little 3-year-olds. It could be 83-year-olds. I mean, all in between, a new song is arising. It may be meant to come off this platform. It may be meant for your shower. It may be meant for the guy down the street. Or don't put a box on it. All I know is the song of heaven will be released in this epic year of 2020. So number one, an epic year. Number two, an increase of miracles. Number three, new levels of worship. Number four, a continued restoration with a capital R of all things lost or stolen.
That's right.
Because that's been going on. That's why I felt continued. No longer, devil.
Come on.
What he's stolen, he has no right to. He can no longer steal. Enough. Enough. We say enough today. On January the 5th, 2020, what has been stolen must be returned and some.
Yeah.
We put a demand upon the word of the Lord that what his words have spoken over your life shall come true. There's no longer no more sickness, poverty, shame, fear, all that junk, no more. A restoration of all things lost or stolen. Lost could indicate maybe something with you. Stolen means the enemy came wrongfully and kind of was able to get it away somehow. Just say no to him. No more. No more enemy. I'm going to walk in my destiny. I'm going to fulfill his purposes for my life. I'm speaking for all of us. Amen. So number one, an epic year. Number two, an increase in all kinds of miracles. Number three, new levels of worship. Number four, a continued restoration of all things lost or stolen. Number five, the spiritual gifts will explode in our church this year. Explode. In other words, it's going to be hard to contain it. Not that we're trying to, but they're of all kinds. You know, there's a gift of mercy. There's a gift of giving. There's an administration. It's literally a gift of administration. God, please let that one explode in here. I mean, there's all kinds. There are plural gifts of healings. Some of us have gifts of healings for like headaches. It's a gift. It's just like high percentage. Everyone you pray for with a headache of any kind, boom, it's gone. Others have gifts of healings for crippled legs or blind eyes or, you know, multiple. Now, how many can I have? Hey, how many do you want? You know, I just think it's not limited. Our Father is always expansive.
That's right.
But this is just a there's the prophetic that we're stepping into this morning. There's tongues and interpretation. There's so many. Just go read 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. Those three chapters right there have a pretty comprehensive list of all of these gifts. I see them like the colors of the rainbow, almost just exploding in almost colors that you can't see in our spectrum. I mean, it's just an explosion. Let it be so, Lord.
Yeah.
Number one, an epic year. Number two, an increase in all kinds of miracles. Number three, new levels of worship. Number four, a continued restoration of all things. Number five, spiritual gifts will explode. And number six is a scripture, Revelation 22, 1 and 2. Do I have that one, Judah? Put that up on the screen. Revelation 22, 1 and 2. It says this. Then the angel showed me a river. Everybody say river.
River.
It was getting kind of wet in here. I'm just saying. A river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it flowed down the center of the main street. I think about my friend's vision of Franklin Street, where the concrete literally turned into water. He saw this years ago. It flowed down the center of the main street, and on each side of the river grew a tree of life, like Psalm 1. You remember Psalm 1, the tree of life? There's a tree planted there, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Now there's a lot in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Number one, that's why we were prophetically named back in 2003, I think, River Life. Not River of Life per se, but just River Life, because it's life in God's river.
Yeah.
Do you know where this river, where it flowed into the earth? When they pierced Jesus' side with the spear, and it said a flood of water and blood came out of his side. That actual physical act released this spiritual river that always has been. John saw in this heavenly visitation that we're reading from Revelation 22, this river of his life. And we are those trees planted beside the river that bears what? A fruit every single month. In the natural, there's a season where plants and trees bear fruit, and then they, but in his economy, in his garden, there's fruit every single month. And to go back to 2019, he talked to us about these four spiritual seasons, and there was a time for sowing and reaping and plant time and all that, and harvest time. And I felt like the Lord said, not going to work that way this year. This year, it's a Revelation 22:2 year. I'm like, what do you mean, Lord? He said, every month there will be new fruit. Every month. It's going to be a continual year of harvesting, in other words. So then I went on to follow, and I said, okay, Lord, well, what's the crop for January?
Come on.
Anybody want to know?
Yes.
Here's what this is what I felt like he said. He said, in January, I will release new levels of seeing and hearing in the Spirit.
Come on.
Anybody want that?
Yeah.
All right, Lord, we receive.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
New levels of seeing and hearing.
Thank you, God.
God, open our eyes and our ears spiritually.
Yes.
To hear, to believe,
thank you,
and to receive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because on down in that chapter of Revelation 22... put that one up there, Judah, verse 17. I love this, and this is going to make you so hungry. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
Let anyone,
yes,
who hears, I will add sees, who hears / sees this say, come.
Come.
Yeah. Come home. Let anyone who is thirsty,
yeah,
come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. See, in other places, this doesn't cost any money.
Amen.
There's a psalm about this. Anyone who comes,
yeah,
This is Jesus' message, the woman at the well, right? I am the water. She's like, oh, well, give me some more of that so I'll never thirst again. She goes, I'm that. Like, you are talking with him. All who come, I believe we'll see this happen this month as we're fasting and praying. All who come can taste and drink from the well that never runs dry. You might have been a Christian in here this morning for 40 years. How thirsty are you? How thirsty are you? Here's what I've realized. There's times where I honestly have to say, not very. And you know what? My Father never condemns me, but he's always got his arms open saying, well, just come anyway. That's just how good he is. Because if you're not really thirsty or hungry spiritually, you can't make yourself be that. It takes God to love God. But here's what you can do. You can be want to want to. You can be honest. You can be willing with the Father this morning and say, Lord, I'm really not very thirsty. I'm not really very spiritually hungry, but I recognize that I want to be. Yeah. If that's where you're at, just do that. Start there. And you know what I found? He loves to answer that prayer. Yeah. He will always come in. It might not be right that second or that day or even the next day, but he will come in 2020. And watch out. Oh, man, you're set up for a geyser. I mean, there's going to be a geyser. There's people in this room that we probably would never imagine how God's going to use you.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the most unlikely people when God begins to move are used.
Yeah.
Amen. I feel comforted by that. I don't know about you. So, number one, an epic year. Number two, an increase in miracles. Number three, new levels of worship. Number four, a continued restoration. Number five, the spiritual gifts are exploding. Number six, Revelation 22, 1 and 2, river. And number seven, it's kind of related to that. 2020, and this has been given out. I should have said that at the beginning. I did hear this, but I had to throw it in at the end. Just like 2020 vision, 2020 is a year of clear vision for us all. You will see the way he sees this year. Get ready, you might be surprised. You'll see the way he sees this year, but get ready, you might be surprised. I'm getting ready to lay down all my pet peeves on this side and my pet theologies on this side and all the way that I think the world works. And I just lay it all down, Lord.
Amen.
Just hold it up to you because, Lord, have mercy. You see the way that you see. I'm not sure how well that lines up with my perspectives, but I'm willing. I want to, God. You know, this is actually what repentance means.
Yeah.
It means to change the way you think. Because what you do, which is what we normally think of as repentance, is simply a fruit of what you think.
That's right.
And what you think comes from what's in your heart.
That's right.
Right? So God, so when you repent and get born again, for example, you get a new heart. Right? So then from your renewed heart, your mind starts to become more like Christ. And then your behavior begins to follow little by little behind that. Well, not just for salvation, but it's also a lifelong process. And in 2020, the Lord will continue to allow us to feel his heart.
Amen.
And to dive deeper. All of these are interlinked.
Thank you, God.
As high praise and glory worship enters the room, you can't help but want to surrender all of your thoughts, all the way you've seen things. Like, God, I just want your perspective.
Amen.
I just want Jesus.
Yeah.
I just want Jesus. More, Lord. More, the mind of Christ, you know, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
He has a real mind. He has real thoughts on real matters.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
I don't care about mine. I want that.
That's right.
Bring me into that in worship, in miracles, in all these other things. The Revelation 22, river of your spirit, bring me in so that my mind will be renewed into your mind, Lord. And finally, a text for 2020, if you will, and I'm sure there's many. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great one that Michael was feeling. So this isn't exclusive. but it's one of your favorites. Psalm 23.
Amen.
Let me read it. Let's read it again. This is in the New Living Translation, the NLT. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd this year. I have all that I need. Come on. Amen. We could stop right there. Go home. Sermon's over. I have all that I need. You're all we need, Lord, in 2020. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows.
Thank you, God.
He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely, goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I love what one theologian wrote that I read about this last verse. Let me read this to you. He said, the Mount of Everest of Psalm 23 is verse 6. What kind of person makes a statement like this, that surely goodness and mercy, or surely goodness and unfailing love, like in that translation, shall follow me all the days of my life? Who says that? Only a person who knows his shepherd would be able to make such a claim. David is not naive. He is not too young to understand. He knows all too well that life can be tough, unfair, and cruel. He has already lost 3 children. But David knows that God is not like life. God is never unfair or cruel. Others may hurt us and do us harm. We may hurt ourselves with our own sin, but not God. God will pursue us in love. God's goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Not just some of the days, but all the days. Every single day, we will experience God's bounty. We will drink it in like refreshing water. And beyond that, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is no doubt about our future. No uncertainty or insecurity. We have a secure destiny with God. What an expression of trust. Every phrase of this final verse oozes with trust. David had walked with God all of his life. He had learned, often through painful experience, that God is good. That God can be trusted. That God's goodness and love will follow him all his life. Surely, surely, this will take place. What kind of person talks this way? Only a person who knows his God. So let me just, in conclusion, before we get ready to pray for you, just make a suggestion of like a plan with the Lord for 2020. And I say a suggestion because you need to pray. You need to ask the Lord for yourself. Say, Lord, here, first of all, number one, what do you have for me? Okay, write that down. Get a journal. Do it a digital journal, however you want to do it the best. Write down just what you feel in your gut. First thing that comes into your heart. God, what have you got for me and my family this year? Okay. Then say, okay, Lord, what steps can I take with you? I'm not striving, not getting out of grace here, but what can I do with you to help me walk in with this in this year with you? And here's some of the things that I would just like to throw out there. Number one, you can write this down if you want. It's not rocket science spiritually, but I'm excited. It has to do with what we're starting today. Number one is pick a time to fast, perhaps a meal, an item, a day or a week, then follow through on it. You know, between you and the Lord. Like, Lord, and here's why. I used to think that fasting was something I would do to get God to do something. And then I realized as I grew in the Father's love and grace that that can't be right. And then I realized biblically that here's what fasting is. Fasting is a tool that he left with us that we get to use, just like a hammer, or if you're a chef, a good knife or whatever it is. It's a tool that you get to use. How does it work? Whenever I deny my flesh of something, automatically my spirit becomes more alive to it. So, for example, if I want to see and hear spiritually more, when I deprive my body from natural things like food or whatever, then it heightens my sense, my hunger spiritually into seeing and hearing. So, like, you remember when the disciples were trying to get that demonized boy free? And they couldn't. And the dad was frustrated. And he finally brought him to Jesus. He's like, "Your guys couldn't get him free. Can you do something?" And then Jesus does, and then the disciples are kind of shaking their heads, and they ask him afterwards, "Well, why couldn't we get him free?" And Jesus said, "Because this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting." And the Lord showed me, he goes, "You see that?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think." He goes, "Fasting would enable the disciples to see how to pray effectively to get that boy free from that demonic torment." You see, Matthew, he said to me, it's a tool. It's not a have to, it's a get to. I'm like, "Oh, well, if you put it that way, then just tell me when to eat." You know, I'm just being sarcastic. At that moment, that was, gosh, years ago now, I literally felt that way in that moment because I realized, oh, this is a grace gift. This is like a beautiful thing, okay? So anyway, that's just a suggestion. Take it or leave it. Number two, make a habit of praying in the Spirit. If you don't have a heavenly language, the Bible calls it praying in tongues, ask God for one. He's a perfect gentleman. He'll give it to you. It'll be like that geyser I spoke of that flows out of your belly. Jesus said, living water will come up out of your belly. One person I read said, "Hey, if you're kind of out of the habit, set your timer for 3 minutes and just try praying in tongues for 3 minutes. You know what I found? Man, you get started with 3 minutes and the next thing you know, it turns into 30. Yeah. I mean, it just gets so exciting because what is literally happening? The Bible teaches, I don't have time to go into all this, but as we do this, that the Spirit is literally praying through us with words that we don't have in English to utter. So fast, pray in tongues. Number three, read the word until something happens. Yeah. Read the Bible, go through the Psalms, start in Proverbs, go to your favorite, John 3:16, whatever it is, begin to read and ask the Holy Spirit to stir something. A verse might speak to you in an intimate way, or it may seem to carry some revelation. Carry this word then around in your heart all that day and the next day. Repeat that scripture if you can remember it. Write it down. Put it on your phone. Sing it through a song. Whatever it is, the Bible literally, what I'm describing is meditate. Yeah. The demonic way of meditation is to empty your mind and invite demons to come in. I'm just saying it like it is. The biblical way to meditate is to fill your mind with the words of Christ. Amen. Fill your mind. Fill your mind. Feast. Taste and see that he is good. Taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see. So fasting, praying in the Spirit, meditating on the word of God. Number four, call someone who encourages your faith, someone you look up to, someone preferably more spiritually maybe ahead than you are. Invite them to have lunch or coffee or whatever. Get together. Pull on their faith. And be provoked to a greater walk with the Lord. Amen. Ask them questions. Like, what are you hearing from God? What's your walk like? What have you learned over the last 20 years? It's just the old thing that we've all said to our kids. You're going to become who you hang around. Yeah. Right? So if you're like me, hey, I want to grow. Amen? I don't want to just stay where I'm at. I want to go into new levels. This is just another tool. It's not a have to, it's a get to. It's another tool God's given us is each other. It's fathers and mothers in the kingdom. And number five, I think I already mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Buy a new journal and write words and dreams. Dreams at night, dreams daydreaming, whatever God gives you. Write them down what you receive from the Lord for this year. Write it down. Make the vision plain, the prophet said, right? Record it. Capture it. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah.
One of the things I did at the end of 2019 was went back to 17, 18, and 19, I read through journals from the last 3 years. And man, it was so, I mean, you know, there's low moments and there's high. I mean, I'm journaling about a lot of stuff, but just to see the epic journey that I've been on with the Lord brought so much courage and faith in my heart, and to reflect back on what God had done and that He does keep His promises.
Amen.
It's awesome, isn't it? By the way, I had written this down. I didn't get to it, but that thing on praying in the Spirit or the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, you can write that down. Go back and read, especially verse 2 through 4. He just says this. I'll just read it real quickly. Paul's saying, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God." Isn't that awesome? Who doesn't want to talk only to God? I mean, that's kind of like what prayer is. I'll only be talking to God. Here's another, he said, then he goes on in verse 3, he says, or in that verse, "You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit." So not only are you talking to God, but you're speaking not through your power, but through His power. Just let that thing just rise up in you. And then he goes on in verse 3, and we're getting to this part. He says, "But one who prophesies," that's what we're getting ready to go into, "strengthens others," or exhorts in another translation, "encourages them and comforts them." Okay, and then in verse 4, "A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally." So the power of God, the thoughts of God, talking to Him directly, and guess what? The side benefit is you get strengthened. I've often equated it to a lamp. In and of itself is great. It's got all the technology and the working pieces in it. But you got to do one thing with this lamp in order for it to be any good. You got to plug it in. The gift of tongues and the Holy Spirit baptism is like plugging into that electrical socket. Ow! Watch out. It might hurt you. No, it's not going to hurt you, but it will set you on fire. Come on. So we're going to pray. I want to ask our Eva and Chris to come back up on the guitar, and Sarah to join me. We're going to have some pastors and elders. Chuck is one of our elders, and Tavitris, they're going to be praying for people over here. And Tracy, one of our elders, and Michael, our campus leader, they're going to be, if you guys will come up here. And this is just a time of faith, to just activate your faith. Here's the basic thing. We just want to bless. We want everyone to start off the first Sunday of 2020 being what the Bible just said, being exhorted, being encouraged, and being edified. Okay? So whatever the Lord says over you, if you can remember it or you've got your little recording device, record it. Take it with you and let the Holy Spirit minister to you and build upon these words in the coming year. Amen.
So I just have one word for somebody specific that I wanted to give. I felt like I needed to be in front of everybody, and it was for you, Ken. I felt like that Matthew was talking about will be surprised people the Lord begins to use in mighty ways. When you came up earlier and were doing communion with your wife Tracy and you started to talk, I felt this anointing fall. And I felt like the Lord said at that time, He said, "Just watch out. I'm getting ready to use him in ways you wouldn't imagine."
That's it.
So I just want to say that to you, Ken, to take courage. It's not anything you're going to have to do or work up. It is who the Lord has created you to be. It is just being you and just the way the Lord used you, the way you have spent time with Him. You have chosen Him in your heart. And He's, I believe, just saying, "Get ready, because I'm getting ready to use you." And I want to say that in front of everybody.
That's good.
So I want to pray for you.
Amen. That's good.
Lord, I just thank you for Ken and your Tracy. I thank you for Ken, and I just thank you for all your promises over his life, Lord. Yes and amen. And we just come into agreement with that right now. And we just say, let it be as it is in heaven, let it come forth through him on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that you would shine forth in all your glory through him. That as he walks throughout his day, and that there would just be miracles happening all around him, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you, this is what you are doing. This is what you are saying,
yes,
that you want to use him. And so we're saying yes and amen. We're blessing Ken right now to go forth into everything you call him to be.